So this week has been insane. I've been collecting these stories and I keep coming back to one thesis. The era of AI agents as isolated tools is over. Everything is connected now, and the winners are building sensory organs for their systems.
Sensory organs? That's a weird way to put it.
Right. So picture this. People are building Discord scrapers that sit in channels and extract signal from noise. X-list scrapers that deduplicate and build knowledge graphs. This is basically an exocortex, an external memory and perception layer that an AI agent can actually use to make decisions.
So instead of the agent hallucinating or making decisions in a vacuum, it's got real-time input from the world.
Exactly. It's the difference between a chatbot in a box and an entity that's actually plugged into a data stream. That's infrastructure we need to build for our businesses.
Okay, that tracks. But here's what I'm curious about. How do you prevent that from becoming noise amplification? You're taking Discord, which is already 99% signal loss, and trying to find the 1%. What happens when you scale that across 10 sources?
That's the hard part. You need filtering layers. And honestly, I think we're going to see structured memory emerge as a competitive advantage. Speaking of which, there's this thing out of ByteDance called Open Viking that's basically solving agent amnesia. It's a hierarchical memory system. Ultra summaries at the top, full details at the bottom. Agents can run 100 steps without hallucinating.
100 steps without losing context. That's huge for multi-step reasoning in our systems.
It is. But here's the second-order effect. If agents can maintain state and reasoning chains for 100 steps, the kinds of problems they can solve changes entirely. We're not talking about single-turn queries anymore.
Right. You'd have agents that actually plan, that remember their own reasoning, that can backtrack and adjust. That's closer to actual intelligence than what we have now.
Exactly. Now there's something adjacent I want to hit, because it connects to what we're building with automation and actually making money. There's this thread from someone talking about how AI's real leverage isn't in automating what's already defined. It's in discovering new problems that are worth solving.
Like, don't use AI to write better copy. Use it to figure out you should be selling something completely different?
Yes, you already know how to automate customer support. That's table stakes now. But if you can use AI to run scenario analysis on your business model, surface hidden customer segments, show that the same product could be positioned 5 different ways with completely different margins, that's the edge.
That's a different mental model entirely. You're not optimizing a problem. You're reframing what the problem even is.
And most founders skip that step. They're like, let me automate this, instead of what am I not seeing?
Okay, shifting gears completely. You saved a bunch of hardware stuff. Why? Are we building robots now?
Not yet, but I'm watching it. There's a guy building a TARS replica from Interstellar on a Raspberry Pi. Small scale, but the interesting part is he's using this tool called Blueprint to design and conceive it. That's not revolutionary on its own, but combined with better joint design, there's this invention from the 80s called the Rosheim joint that nobody talks about. But it's elegant as hell for spherical motion.
So there's this quiet renaissance in mechanical design happening, and people are actually executing on it with accessible hardware?
Exactly. The barrier to building physical systems is dropping. If AI agents can eventually operate robotic systems, the limiting factor isn't compute anymore. It's mechanical sophistication, and that's becoming accessible.
That's a longer-term play, though, right? What's more immediate?
The infrastructure stuff. Okay, so there's this thing about treating your SSD as a cache and S3 as your real database. The math is insane. S3 is basically 3 times cheaper per gigabyte than replicated EBS.
But S3 has latency issues, right? How do you make it feel like local disk?
That's the engineering problem. You build smarter caching layers. The idea is your hot path, frequently accessed data, stays on fast storage. Your cold path lives in S3, and modern databases are starting to optimize for this split, It's not the future of databases being faster disks. It's smarter caching on infinite storage.
So for something like our data pipelines, we could architect for way more data without proportional cost increases?
Significantly more. If you think about building systems that need to ingest and store massive amounts of historical data but only access a slice of it at any moment, this is the pattern. You're not paying for the disk, you're paying for the access.
That changes how we think about scaling. What else?
There's this tool called Page Index that's basically making vector databases optional for RAG systems. Instead of chunking documents, embedding them, and searching vector space, it reads the full document, builds a tree structure, and retrieves based on semantic hierarchy.
So it's reading like a human would read?
Basically, you don't split the document into chunks. You understand the document as a structure. Then you traverse that structure to find the answer. No embeddings, no vector database.
Does it work as well as traditional RAG?
From what I'm seeing, it's actually more accurate in a lot of cases because closest match in vector space doesn't always mean best answer. But I want to test it against our pipelines.
That could simplify our stack significantly. Fewer dependencies.
Right. And for teams building RAG-heavy applications, this is a lifeline. You don't need to maintain a separate vector database anymore. It's just Python and documents.
Okay, last thing I want to circle back to. You mentioned this guy who built Mirofish in 10 days and got $4 million in funding in 24 hours. That's not normal.
That's not normal at all. And the fact that it was a Chinese college kid who just vibe-coded it in 10 days tells you something about the accessibility of these tools now. You don't need a lab. You don't need institutional backing. If you can reason about the problem, you can build the solution.
And ByteDance immediately backed it because they see the value?
They saw the value in the AI agent framework that made it possible. OpenViking, the memory layer, that's the real infrastructure play. Mirofish is the application, but the infrastructure is what matters.
So what should we be watching?
Agent architectures that don't lose state, memory systems that scale, anything that makes it cheaper to store and retrieve data, and mechanical design tooling that makes physical systems more accessible. If you're building AI-operated businesses, you need to understand how these layers connect.
And the common thread is efficiency. Better memory, cheaper storage, smarter retrieval, less waste.
Yeah. The systems that win this year aren't going to be the ones with the fanciest models. They're going to be the ones that figured out how to keep context, how to think in steps, and how to not pay $10 in infrastructure for every dollar of value created.
That's the real competition.
That's the real competition.